The person that wrote that song is an MCC pastor. His name is Reverend David North. And I have worked with him and both in ministry and in the choir, the interfaith multicultural choir that he leads called Mosaic Harmony. I used to help schedule their concerts. So this song always, always gets to me. Thank you all so much. Will you join me now in a moment of prayer? Loving Spirit of creation, great maker of all things, it is said that by the work one knows the worker. Your universe is so vast and all-inclusive, incomprehensible to our minds, yet everything belongs. And by this unbounded creation do we know only but a glimpse of you, the Creator. And yet, you know us. Grant us an awareness of your presence here among us today, filling the space between us and within us. Inspire in us a sense of joy and wonder and the good work to be done. Help us to break down the walls that may make us feel more comfortable, but that keep us apart. Help us to journey humbly together and to make a space for you here in our hearts and here among us together by making a space for each other. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. It is amazing how just a few notes can bring people together, together in unity. That is a wonderful thing, and I want to thank you for joining me. Now, when I was a child, I believed that work was a place. I believed that it was a physical place where people went to during the day, had no idea what they did there. And the Disney movie Snow White did nothing to dispel that belief. But my dad, who, as you know, was a Methodist minister, helped to clear that up by explaining to me that work was not a place, but rather a task, something that people did for a living. I asked him what dwarves did, and he said he didn't know. I asked him what he did for work. Now, I knew he was a preacher, but what did he do, you know, for work? He told me that he worked in a partnership with God. And as I grew older, I came to understand it better. Now, back in the day, long before churches had mission and vision statements, Dad would frequently address the church with this singular phrase, "We are workers together with God." From 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, workers together with God. I think the first place that we learn about work is generally through our parents, and often that's where we first learn about religion and spiritual matters as well. Now, in my household, the two were always intertwined, but I do think it had less to do with my father's occupation than with the outlook of my parents as spiritual human beings. My father taught me not only to dedicate my life to God's service, but my bicycle, and later my car, my typewriter, when I had a typewriter, my school books, everything that I used and touched, every aspect of being an offering dedicated to the service and greater glory of our Creator. Now, this simple practice brought about a certain sacred mindfulness to every task that I undertook. For example, my first job was a paper route. To me, it was a special task to carry entertainment and news, practically bring the whole world to people's doorstep each and every day. Yes, we were among the front runners of the internet. We even brought the world to people's doorsteps in color on Sundays. And we did so for a profit of only a few pennies per paper. Now, I still remember looking into the cigar box that represented my business account at the end of the month. The loose change there, I often used it to buy a cheeseburger. And they were among the best cheeseburgers that I ever tasted. And they were physical reminders of the deep sense of nourishment that I gained by being connected to the world, by being connected to the neighborhood. Our work is what connects us to the world. And our work is bound up with the work of others. Because while it may have been my job, when one person in a family has a paper route, every person in the family has a paper route. Mom would help me with my money matters. Dad would assist me with customer service calls. Like when I toss papers badly and they wound up in the bushes or occasionally on someone's roof that we didn't even know. And when it rained, my older sister, she had to drive me. So I suppose it really was a family business. Now, unfortunately, as we grow up, I think our modern consumer culture is quick to teach, for its own well-being, I am afraid, that there is some separation between one's spirituality and one's job, between one's essence and one's work. Severing a connection that I believe is essential in today's world. And I think the results of such a separation are all around us. We live in a society that professes to be religious. We even have it on our money, for goodness sake. And we have a governing populace that largely claims to be religious, often boasts that it is so, and yet we look around us. And in one big whopping example, just a few years ago, greed harnessed the very real desire for people to own their own home, perhaps one that they really could not afford, in a process that was manipulated by an industry and eventually cost many their livelihood and their homes, and all of us billions of dollars, billions that could have been best spent elsewhere, and that all began at someone's desk. At someone's work, where they worked, and it was supported by a government that encourages conspicuous consumption. Where is the connection between the faith traditions that we profess and the work that we actually do? And yet, in a totally perverse twist, it is all too often only some of the bad theology, some of the wrong-headed interpretations of some faith traditions that seem to express themselves in the process of exclusion, which find their way into the expression of work and life beyond places of worship. Now, I needed to call our home and car insurance company about one thing or another. However, as soon as I gave the representative our account number, she began giving me some attitude with regard to the joint nature of our policy. She said she needed to speak to Heather in order to make the changes. I informed her that we were married, and no, she did not. Now, at that point, I had lost sight of the original objective. I became personally and individually engaged in the process. Now, and rightfully so, but in telling this woman how to do her job, I also engaged her in the process and not the objective. It took some discussion, but we finally achieved the objective and concluded our business the way I wanted it done, the way that it should have been done. Now, the young woman who served me may have believed that she was doing her church work in some sort of twisted way, but I disagree. I would argue that she was doing much the opposite, presenting an obstacle to service based on her social beliefs and using her faith to justify her behavior. I'll tell you one thing, rude is rude. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Regardless, bringing all that we are to work is a complex proposition. And that's why our consumer culture encourages the separation between one's spiritual life and one's work life. Walls between what we do for a living and the essence of our spirit as a matter of living. I, for one, cannot snuff my spiritual being. And you say, oh, Emma, that's easy for you to say. You work inside of a church. I also grew up in a church, learning to walk in the folds of my father's robe, and I can tell you that working within the walls of a church, whether as a church employee or a church member, is hardly any guarantee of working within a spiritual environment. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's a little bit too loud. But you know what I'm talking about. And so did Paul. Paul's letter to the Roman church offering instruction is evidence of that from the very beginning. In fact, I will tell you, I have seen more people lose their faith in their faith from serving on a church board of directors than I have ever seen on any of the other corporate boards on which I've served. Indeed, so many people sometimes are on the board, and as soon as they complete their term, we don't see them again. And that's wrong. That can't happen. I have seen and experienced more pain caused by church institutions than almost any other. And I know that we all have, and it's a crying shame. Now, I have worked in corporate America, and I'm sure I will do so again at some point. And I cannot leave my spirituality at the door. Never have, never will, whether it is the door to a restaurant, an office building, or a cathedral. When I worked at Wendy's, I provided nourishment for people. What a sacred task. French fries were their communion. I can no more leave my spirit at the door than my hands, my feet, or any other part of me at the door. And yet it is important to remember that while we bring who we are to what we do, what you do is only a part of you. You are not what you do. Over-identification with our occupation causes all sorts of problems. Problems which become most apparent when we leave or change jobs. And that's hard because we think the job belongs to us and we belong to that job. And we think it's who we are, but it is not. You are not what you do, but what you do is a part of you. Now, I had an appointment with someone and they commented about the office door upstairs. The name slot on the door is blank. And they said, how long has it been? And you haven't put your name on the door? I responded, well, you know who I am, and I know who I am, and I don't own the door. Now, my response was reflexive. But this is something that I do, and I don't own it. It's not mine. I'm just passing through. And the best that I can do is pray to be a good steward and a good caregiver to pass things on to the next. It's that way with any job I've ever held. I don't own it, and it doesn't own me. Now, it's no secret that I have a great affinity for the many faith traditions of this world. I am a God geek. I will worship with anyone, anywhere. Amen. And I have. And why? It's simple. I truly believe that we are workers together. We are in partnership with God, with divinity. And as such, this is a family business. I work with and I depend on my siblings. Because while our process may vary, our greater objective is invariably the same. To make this world a better, safer, cleaner place in which to live. I care less about the process. I care most about the objective. Now, the Quaker faith has a long and beautiful tradition of integrating one's spiritual life into one's entire being. Quakers encourage each other to see the light of divinity in each and every person. That in every human being, there is something of God there. This is an instructional quote from the Quaker Guide to Living and Belief on how one should view one's work life. Quote, The spirit of humanity and service should lead all who are engaged in industry to regard each other not as antagonists, struggling to win advantages from each other, but as co-operators, sharing with one another in their common purpose to serve their community. End quote. I mentioned the Jewish phrase last week, tikkun olam. Does anybody remember what that means? Y'all weren't paying attention. I'm disappointed. It means repairing the world. Remember that. Repairing the world. We are indeed workers together, different process, but with a common purpose and a common objective. But who does this work? Who accomplishes the objective? Now that is the question. Now the ancients would tell a story of one who sat in a temple and prayed to God daily to heal the world, and was doing so when an unusually large stream of beggars, the broken, the wounded, the beaten, the infirm, filed past the temple. And the one praying looked out and was appalled and took issue with God, looking up and shouting, "Hey, look at this mess. Great and loving God, if you are indeed a great and loving God, just do something, for goodness sake." And a voice called out from heaven, "I did do something. I made you." Sister Joan Chittister explains it this way: a spirituality of work is that process by which I finally come to know that my work is God's work, unfinished by God, because God meant it to be finished by me. We are workers together, and this is a family business, and we do have some responsibility to our siblings. And we see work being done by so many in the floodwaters of Texas, on TV, and on the internet. We see people who are indeed the answers to prayers. They are the answer to the prayers of care that we pray here, that we pray here today. Our siblings there are making good on those requests and prayers that we offer here. God's grace moving through the hands and feet of those within arm's reach. All too often we are forced to bring more of our work into our life when perhaps we should bring more of our life into our work. But if you have to preach it there, then you're not teaching it there. Let your faith and your life speak through your work. Preach through your hands and feet and your heart, making your daily labor the expression of the best that is within you. Ultimately, you may even work in a field that you don't wholly agree with. This happens to all disciples, even the original disciples. Yet we can focus on being the agent of change within. And we can work to understand how the work at our fingertips helps to repair the world in which we live. It does in each and every occupation and at each and every level. There is the opportunity for making the world a better place. There is the opportunity to partner with the Creator. Yet how do we work in partnership with God? Surely the first thing we have to do is learn how to work in partnership with each other. And that's part of the tough part. Paul's letter to the Romans, from which we heard a passage today, was written to the budding church in Rome, about 57 years after the crucifixion of Jesus. Paul wrote this church, as he wrote to others, to address what he felt were matters of concern to specific communities. There were different matters. Some he addressed with the Hebrews, the Corinthians, the Galatians, the Ephesians. Most often these letters spoke to some sort of conflict or crisis within an individual church community, which again goes to show us that this is as common as the church itself. The reason being is because we have people here. Paul's letters show us that from the very beginning, doing church work was hard work. But what Paul leaves for us is practically a job description for how to work together. Also, how we may do work in all aspects of life in alignment with our spirit. Not everyone can paint. I can't paint very well, and you can probably tell the places where I paint it. Not everyone can paint. Not everyone can clean or sing or serve on a church board or cook or provide hospitality or organize a yard sale or feed the homeless. Not everybody can do those things. And yet together, we all participate in those things as a community of faith. We share in the work performed through the hands of our community. But the work we do is not done for reward and is not measured by a sense of fulfillment that comes from any visible results. Truth is, we rarely see the results of most of the work that we do. Sometimes I will be in the office and I just want to fold bulletins because I can point to that and say, I have done that today. I have accomplished something that I can actually see and touch. Amen. Amen. But what we do experience within is the transformation that the work brings about within us. And that's always there simply as a result of the doing. That is the mark of good work. What it does to us, the wonder it works within us, that is good work. Dedicating my life to the glory of God makes a difference, but where it makes a difference most is in my own mindfulness of being in partnership with divinity. And it is that mindfulness that changes and guides my behavior, and that changes everything. The poet Cahil Gibran said, "Work is love made visible." Is your work an expression of the best that is within you? How do you reflect the divine? What is the lens through which you reflect the divine? What is the good work that you do? And whose prayers are you an answer to? Whose prayers are you an answer to? Who's within arm's reach of you that someone else, somewhere else, is praying for? We are the vehicle through which God works in this world. We are workers together. And when the worship ends, that is when the good work begins. May it be so.